Robot Building Supplies, supplying quality building products at competitive prices for over 60 years. Are your team's building construction qualifications up to date? Train with the best. Master Builders Victoria.
Drive with Bob Murphy and Andy Marr.
Oh, you come back. There's 30 seconds left in the final round. The Cuban won the second round unanimously as well. He's dominated the first two, and he is pulverising our bloke in the third.
There's a couple of Pez dispenser uppercuts.
Oh, yes, there were.
Flip back a bit.
Let's get to the final 15 seconds with Johnny Harker.
4 years. The two-time world champs on his way to a gold medal bout. And Harry Garside, he knows he's been beaten. He'll take bronze, Garside. What a performance. Andy Cruz. Class personified. Too quick. And then when it did become a battle inside, when he did decide to take it into a phone box and say, OK, let's see what you've got, Cruz was up to it. But, gee, it takes some ticker to be doing that when you're outclassed, you've got someone that's faster than you, someone that's footwork is superior to yours, and you're used to countering to then turn around and say, well, I'm going to stand here toe for toe, I'm going to put my head on your chest, and I'm going to slug it out. That takes real guts, Harry Garside. Let's hope he stays amateur and gets himself a gold in a few years. So Cruz will fight Davis in the gold medal bout. Harry Garside, when you look at yourself in the mirror tomorrow morning, you'll see a bronze Aussie.
There you go.
Had many of those. Harry Garside, the first medal for Australia in boxing in 33 years.
And such is the quality of this young bloke. He is stretching the rope, Harry Garside, that is, for Andy Cruz to exit the ring through. So he went over to Cruz's corner. He didn't want one of Cruz's corner men to open the rope up so Cruz could get out. Garside went and did it. He knew he was beaten. He was punched severely in that last round. And he walks away with a bronze medal, which is an unbelievable achievement given the lack of success we've had in the boxing ring and Olympic Games for quite some time.
That was a nice touch, though, wasn't it? Just
good.
Lifting the rope for him.
Absolutely.
The morality within the combat, which is a nice segue.
Well, speaking of morality within combat, it's a beautiful segue because we're both enormously excited about this. We step out of the sporting world every now and again because there is an ENSEN. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking to everybody on this show for quite some time now about Mr. In Between, which he and I have watched and wished would never end. Mm. But like all good things, there has to be an end. I hope somewhere down the track we get some sort of reprise. I'm not sure we ever will, but it was absolutely magnificent. It might actually be the best Australian TV that I've ever seen.
Is that right?
It might be. It might be.
And it's all time. It's on the list.
It's magnificent. And I'm not just saying that because the bloke who was the writer, the creator, and the star of it's about to join us, but sort of helps to feather his nest a bit and butter him up.
Get him on
our side. Just to put him in a good mood.
Because he can handle himself.
He's about to join us. It's 7 minutes past four.
Ray, how many people, if you had to guess, how many people would you say that you've assaulted?
Heaps.
Now, how do you feel about that?
Fine, they had it coming, so.
And what did they do?
Oh, it depends. I mean, I'm pretty big on just respect. So, like, if you respect me, I respect you. You know, if you don't, we got a problem.
That's the men's health group that he's part of.
That's poetry.
It's magnificent. The voice belongs to Scott Ryan, and the character is Ray Shoesmith. The show is Mr. In Between. Hey, Scott, it's a bloody honour to have you on the show, mate. It's Andy and Bob. We've been enormous fans of what you've done with this TV series, and we've been very, very keen to get you on, and it's great to have you with us, mate. Thanks for giving us a bit of your time this afternoon.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Where did he come from? Has Ray been a character that you've... Yeah, we know the movie The Magician was made a while ago. How long had you been thinking about this bloke before you put him down in film?
I think probably going back to about 1999.
Yeah, wow. When did you,
And I, you know, it was like a, just a short film idea I had, and then I started working on the feature-length version because I thought, oh, this is a pretty good character. But, I mean, the character basically came from mostly from books I'd read, you know, on contract killers and stuff like that. I'd read Chopper's books, and I'd read a few sort of books from the US, and these were pretty interesting guys, I thought. And, yeah, I thought it was worth sort of having a crack at.
He seemed to come, I've got to say this, he seemed to come pretty naturally to you.
Hmm. Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why, but you know, I did a fair bit of research, I suppose, and I grew up in a place called Hallam, which is just outside of Dandenong.
Yeah, no Hallam, famous pub.
And knew a few sort of characters growing up and stuff, and you know, and that's kind of, you know, came from a lot of different places, I suppose, people I've known and people I've met, and books and films and all kinds of stuff.
Scott, how difficult was the path from, you know, you come up with the character, you're writing it, you're getting this picture in your own, you know, imagination, to then actually getting it on the screen in Australia? I imagine it's a pretty tough path.
Oh, look, it was very tough. I mean, you know, in the beginning of it, like, you know, making the feature film, I mean, I had, back then about $3,000 to make a whole, you know, to shoot the whole thing. And it was just very hard sort of getting your foot in the door with the funding bodies. And I kind of felt like I had to go and make something myself. So I didn't really know anybody who worked in the industry or who could help me. So I basically went to uni to did a uni course for 4 years to, you know, meet a bunch of people who could help me do it. And that's basically what I did.
So the title is Mr. In-Between. So this character, mm-hmm. Ray Shoesmith, who he lives the two worlds. He's straddling the two worlds. And I don't want to get too artsy-fartsy about it, but it does seem to me to be a series about morality. And Ray is a moral man with a heart of gold. But even within this underworld crime world, the sort of morality and the rules of the crime world I found fascinating. And so I imagine you must have had to talk to a lot of people and experience that to sort of get the nuance of that world.
Yeah, well, that really came in the research as far as, you know, the reading goes. You kind of find out that there's this whole sort of, you know, it's a different society, really. It's a society with its own rules, basically. And if you break those rules, well, you can have a problem. I guess, you know, just doing the research, just reading a lot, and that helped me kind of understand how that society kind of worked.
And how did you settle on Dim Sims for Ray's favourite sort of cuisine? Because I've got to say, Scott, since I've watched the series, I have been on a solid diet of Dim Sims.
Oh, we got an issue with
too,
this.
Too many.
No,
actually,
we'll take this up with you in a minute, but you should answer that question first, Scott, before we sort of dive a bit deeper into this.
Yeah. Oh, about the dimmies. Where did the dimmies come from?
Yeah.
Look, the thing is, I've never been big on the dimmies. I got to tell you. I mean, there was a place you could get them down the South Melbourne market where they had these really good homemade ones.
Yes,
and, they were pretty good, but I was never a big fan of dimmies. But it was kind of just one of those things. It's like, well, Ray's somewhere and he's got to be eating something. I thought, well, you know, you're Australian, so what's more Australian than a dimmy? So I threw it in there, and then everybody's like, yeah, everybody in the US was like, oh, what the hell's a dimmy and all this kind of stuff. So I just kept throwing dimmies in. Every time Ray had to eat something, he was eating a dimmy.
Yeah, well, I've got a bit of an issue with this, though, Scott, because there's the famous scene where Freddie, one of the key characters of the show, meets Ray in your favourite dim sim, your Asian sort of takeaway joint. And it doesn't look like they're dim sims to me. They look like you're eating dumplings. I don't know whether they call them something different in Sydney than
creative
they do down
license.
Here in Melbourne.
They didn't look like dim sims
to me.
Yeah, well, see, that's the problem shooting stuff in Sydney, mate. So you can't get proper dimmies.
Right.
That's all they had. We're like dimmies, and they're like, what? And we're like, well, it's kind of like a dumpling. Okay, right.
Give
you dumplings
in. Right.
So, yeah. That's the best we could do other day on my throat. So.
Hey, Scott, can I ask you, looking back over it now, so the writing of it, the, you know, the acting, the producing, so the actual action of the production, and now the aftermath where you get to see it, people are appreciating it, which has been the most enjoyable or the most pure part for it for you as an artist?
Oh, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. I mean, it's all you know, the you know, the producing side of it, the acting side of it, the writing side of it. There's there's some hard parts to it as well. And I guess, I mean, probably just for pure enjoyment is probably, I guess, people's reaction to it. You know, the fact that people have, you know, the fans of the show who really love it, like, you know, talking to you guys, you know, you're very enthusiastic about it. You know, that's probably the best because there's no real downside to it. And it doesn't require any hard work at this point now. You know, the hard work's all done, so...
And what next? Have you thrown yourself into the next creative outlet? Is that the last we'll see of Ray Shoesmith? Because that's a thought that's
I don't really want to think about it. It's a bit too emotional for some of us
at the moment.
I need him to come back at some stage.
Look, it's entirely possible that he could pop his head up again. I mean, at the end of the day, you just get to a point where, you know, like I was running out of ideas, basically. I mean, because I was writing the whole thing myself. And it sort of takes over your life. And, yeah, basically I got to a point, I'm like, yeah, what am I going to write about, you know, if we do another season? And I didn't want it to be, you know, lackluster. So, you know, I decided, well, you know, that's it for the time being. And, you know, look, in a couple of years, mate, you know, I might sort of come up with an idea. I might think, oh, yeah, okay. And maybe away we go again, you know, if that's what... you know, FX wants to do. So, I mean, you never know, mate. You never know.
So for a couple of outsiders like Andy and I, we know nothing about, you know, this creative world that, you know, you seem to, you know, be a master of. But one thing that we spoke about, Andy and I, was just how good the casting was.
Oh, my God.
The characters, the actors you got for each character. Not one of them was jarring at all. It was like, yeah, that's the person. That's the partner. Brooke Satchwell, that love story, that connection was spot on.
Yeah, we were really, well, you know, lucky. I don't know if lucky is the word. I mean, we had Kirsty McGregor doing the casting, and she's fantastic. And look, we just got great people. There's so many talented people.
Who just lost the line there. I reckon we'll get him back. I don't want this to end. We'll just try and reestablish the line to Scott Ryan because there's only about 6,500 more questions I want to ask him about Ray Shoesmith. We'll just try and get him back on the line. If you haven't seen it, it's Mr. In Between. You can, I'm not actually sure. I watched it on Foxtel Catch Up or one of the streaming services, but you'd be able to find it all over the place, I reckon. It's if you know your way navigating around those sorts of things, it'd be pretty easy to find. Hey, Scotty, we've got you back. Such is life these days with phone lines and everything. They drop in and out, but we've got you back. I can't actually remember. We were halfway through the casting and the characters and just the note perfect way that they were selected. I think we're halfway through your kind of response to that question. If you had a bit more to add to it.
Yeah, look, I mean, I was going to say we got lucky, but I don't think we got lucky. I just think there's a lot of talented people out there, a lot of talented actors, and you know, it's good that they got the opportunity to really sort of show what they can do. So,
when you look back at the body of work, you look back at the show, I don't know whether you can do this, but is there a relationship with one of the characters that you as Ray, you liked the way it played out? I mean, you wrote it, so you're proud of it anyway. But is there one, as it sort of came to life, as you watched it, you thought, gee, that really worked well, that relationship with one of the characters?
Oh, look, I couldn't pick one.
Yeah.
There were so many. You know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, you write something and you don't, you know, you've got an idea of who the character is, and then the actor comes in and breathes life into it. And, you know, always does it a little bit differently than how you expected, but I was always pleasantly surprised. I mean, there were so many great moments, and especially some of my favourite moments were not even scripted. I mean, one of the things about working with, for instance, Matty Nabel, he's a great improviser. So, you know, he'll come in and he'll just start you know, going off tangent, and then you've got to try to sort of keep up with him. So, and those were great moments because it's surprising, you know, and you're kind of having to sort of stop yourself from laughing.
Is that what happened with the Quentin? Was that how much of that script?
Mate,
how much of that,
mate,
the part that, of that script was scripted?
Mate, that whole like the first part of it was scripted, right? And then towards the end, where I say. Yeah, tell me one guy named Quentin, and he goes, Quentin Kenahan. And he starts talking about the celebrity race, and they're propping him up on books, and he's doing good lap times, and all this sort of stuff. You know, that's all improvised. The thing is, and this is the thing that people don't even know, is that he actually kept going for a couple of minutes after that. And it was even funnier, but we had to sort of cut it off because we couldn't have an episode where sort of Matty just improvises for 20 minutes. So
it was perfect, mate. It was absolute genius. Why was it important for Ray's brother to have motor neurone? It added obviously so much to the interaction and not only the interaction between Ray and Bruce, but you know, Ray's daughter and Bruce. They were beautiful. I mean, amazingly beautiful scenes, some of that stuff. And it was, you know, it wasn't sugarcoated. Like some of it was, you know, pretty real. Why was that an important kind of character arc for Bruce to have?
Well, I think the thing with it is, I mean, you've got, in Ray, a character who's doing some pretty nefarious stuff, you know, he's beating people up and he's killing people. And it was kind of something that would sort of humanize him a little bit so that the audience would kind of go, okay, well, you know, I don't know if I like this guy. And then when you see him with Bruce, you kind of think, oh, gee, okay, well, I kind of do like this guy. And then put them in the situation where they're kind of thinking, they're feeling guilty for actually liking Ray in the first place. So that was kind of where I was coming from with the MND stuff.
I liked him straight away. I mean, I know Australians are kind of drawn, I don't know whether it's in our sort of DNA, some of us, but to sort of be drawn to the anti-hero. But I liked him straight away, and I know he did some crook things, but that sort of, I mean,
because of the morality and the rules that sort of Ray
the ladybird. I'm a sucker. The ladybird in the shower got me straight away. I thought he's a pretty decent bloke. But you know what I mean? It didn't take long. I wonder whether that's feedback that you've got, Scott, about the way people have reacted to Ray, that you sort of liked him irrespective of some of the pretty heinous stuff he was getting up to.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and then there's little things, like you said, you know, the thing about the ladybird and all that kind of stuff. It just adds those little touches to it that sort of balances it. You don't want people to, you know, completely love him all the time. You kind of want him to people to kind of question why they like him at times, and that does happen. But I think, yeah, you know, the whole anti-hero thing, I mean, you know, you look at the you know, this country, I mean, it's all the convict pass that we have and all that kind of stuff. I think that's probably why we kind of having a bit of an affinity with the anti-hero.
Well, I think, you know, for those of us who watched it, we all rejoiced when you put the potential brother-in-law through the window at Christmas dinner because taking the unicorn off a little girl. I mean, that's justice. He had it coming,
yeah,
that fella.
He totally deserved it.
Look, we could ask you 1,000 questions, mate. Yeah, the bloke who played Gary. When you went to the footy, we're a sports radio station here, and we, you know, it was the Giants. The Giants were playing. They might have been playing the Doggies that day, I think. Were they playing the Western Bulldogs?
I was trying to find. I could pick that it was the Giants Stadium.
Yeah, yes.
I was trying to see
the outer
side
of the ground there. Is it important that we know who he barracks for, or is he doesn't really have? Has Ray got a? Is he a giant at heart, or who does he barrack for?
Probably rugby league,
yeah, probably.
No, we never had any sort of thought about that. It was just like, okay, there's a game and we've got to shoot some stuff. So what's the best game we can go to on the day, basically? And I mean, that was it. I mean, I grew up, I guess when I was younger, I was a Carlton fan.
Oh, God love you. This has just tapped it. This is taking my regard for you.
It's taken a bit.
To a whole new level.
It's taken a tiny bit of shine off of me, if I'm being honest, Scott. We're going so well.
Mr. In-Between has clearly gone past Jack Irish now as my favourite. This is the best. Oh, that's great.
That's so good.
Hey, we will let you go. Just the two that we've watched and spoken about on this show a bit recently are actually Jack Irish and your show, Scott. And
yep,
they're quintessentially Australian accents, Australian scenes. Australian cities. There's no shying away from it. Like it's when clearly you've had some access to an American market, it sounds like, with your show, which it thoroughly deserves to be seen all over the world. But was that important for you to not shape the language a certain way, mindful that, you know, American audiences might pick it up at some stage down the track?
Well, in the first season, we were just making it for Australia. FX Australia made the show, and we had no idea that it was going to get picked up by an American network and screen all around the world. So basically, it was just an Australian show for Australians. And, you know, when we got picked up, the attitude didn't really change. It was still... We still wanted to make it, you know, unique to Australia and authentic. And I think if we had diluted it for any other market, I think it would have ended up hurting the show.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Mate, thanks for coming on. Thanks for giving us Ray Shoesmith. It's a gift that will outlive the three of us as part of this conversation. And everybody else that's watched the show, I think on our behalf, I'd like to thank you for him. Scotty, he's a magnificent character, as they all are. It's a triumph of a show, and hopefully you're really proud of it because it's pretty special, mate. So thanks for coming on and having a quick chat about it with us this afternoon.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, good man.
On you, Scott.
Scott Ryan. Ray Shoesmith, Mr. In-Between. it just watch it, folks.
Do yourself a favour.
Is there any temporary... Oh. Okay, give us a sense of that when we come back. It's 24 minutes past four.
I love him.
If you just want to have a chat about Ray Shoesmith, and if you need to now that we've done that, feel free. Lines are open on the other side of this.